Hare Krishna. Today is a very auspicious day. It is Vamana Dvadasi, the appearance day of the Lord in the form of Vamanadev. And it is also the appearance day of Srila Jiva Goswami, one of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, direct disciples of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Today we shall read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 7. Scheduled Incarnations, Text 17. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Jayan Gunai Avaraja Api Adite Sutanam Lokan Vichakrame Iman Yat Ata Adiyagya Shmam Vamanena Jagre Tripada Chalena Yachnam Rite Pati Charan Prabhubi Na Chalya. Yayan Gunar Avarajo Pyadite Sutanam. Lokan vichakrama imam yadatadi yagya.
Lokan vichakrama imam yadatadi yagya.
Shmam vamanena jagrihe tripada chalena. Yachnam rite paticharan. Prabhu bir na chalya. Nam gunar varajo pyadite sutanam. Kan vichakrama imam yatatadi yagya.
Amam vamanena jagrahe tripada chalena.
Shmamam vamanena jagrahe tripada chalena.
Yam
te pati charan prabhu bir nachaya. Chakrama imam yadatha diyagya Shamam bananenya parvati parachalena Samrite paticharan prabhu birna chaya. Ladies, Kandhi Chakrama Imam Yadatha Yadya Ambamani Ipadachalena Charam Prabhu Virna Chaya Chiyayan. The greatest Gunai by qualities of a Raja, transcendental Api, although he is so Adite of Aditi Sutanam, of all the sons known as Adityas, Lokan, all the planets, Vichakrame, surpassed Iman, in this universe, yet one who Ata, therefore Adiyagya, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shamam, all the lands, Vamanena, in the incarnation of Vamana, Jagrahe, accepted, Tripada, three steps, Chalena, by pretension, Yachnam, begging, Rite, without, Paticharan, passing over the right path, Prabhubi, by authorities, Na, never to be, Chalya, to be bereft of. Translation: the Lord, although transcendental to all material modes, still surpassed all the qualities of the sons of Aditi, known as the Adityas. The Lord appeared as the youngest son of Aditi. And because he surpassed all the planets of the universe, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. On the pretense of asking for a measurement of 3 footsteps of land, He took away all the lands of Bali Maharaj. He asked simply because without begging, no authority can take one's rightful possession. Please repeat. The Lord, although transcendental to all material modes, still surpassed all the qualities of the sons of Aditi, known as the Adityas. The Lord appeared as the youngest son of Aditi. And because he surpassed all the planets of the universe, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. On the pretense of asking for a measurement of 3 footsteps of land, he took away all the lands of Bali Maharaj. He asked simply because, without begging, no authority can take one's rightful possession. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The history of Bali Maharaj and his charity to Vamanadeva is described in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Bali Maharaj conquered all the planets of the universe by rightful possession. A king can conquer other kings by strength, and such possession is considered to be rightful. So Bali Maharaj possessed all the lands of the universe, and he happened to be charitably disposed toward the Brahmanas. The Lord therefore pretended to be a beggar Brahmana, and he asked Bali Maharaj for a measurement of 3 footsteps of land. The Lord, as the proprietor of everything, could take from Bali Maharaj all the land he possessed. But he did not do so because Bali Maharaj possessed all those lands by king's rights. When Bali Maharaj was asked by Lord Vamana for such small charity, Bali Maharaj's spiritual master, namely Shukracharya, objected to this proposal because he knew that Vamanadeva was Vishnu himself, pretending to be a beggar. Bali Maharaj did not agree to abide by the order of his spiritual master when he understood that the beggar was Vishnu himself, and he at once agreed to give him in charity the land requested. By this agreement, Lord Vamana covered all the lands of the universe with his first 2 steps, and then asked Bali Maharaj where to place the 3rd step. Bali Maharaj was very glad to receive the Lord's remaining step upon his head. And thus Bali Maharaj, instead of losing everything he possessed, was blessed by the Lord's becoming his constant companion and doorman. So, by giving everything to the cause of the Lord, one does not lose anything but he gains everything that he could never otherwise expect. Translation again. The Lord, although transcendental to all material modes, still surpassed all the qualities of the sons of Aditi, known as the Adityas. The Lord appeared as the youngest son of Aditi. And because he surpassed all the planets of the universe, he is the supreme personality of Godhead. On the pretense of asking for a measurement of 3 footsteps of land, he took away all the lands of Bali Maharaj. He asked simply because without begging, no authority can take one's rightful possessions. So the story of Bali Maharaj and Vamanadeva is described in several chapters of the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And the history contains many important lessons for us within the short time allotted to us. We cannot discuss every detail of the pastime, but we shall discuss some of the important features. Within the universe, there are 2 great families or dynasties, the Adityas and the Daityas. The Adityas are godly sons of Kashyapa and Aditi, and the Daityas are envious of God and the devotees. And the 2 clans are always fighting for supremacy in the universe. But generally, the demigods, being protected by Lord Vishnu, are successful. But because Bali Maharaj was very charitably inclined to Brahmanas, he received the blessings of the Brahmanas. And because the demigods had unfortunately offended their spiritual master, they were bereft of his mercy. And in that situation, the Daityas were able to conquer the universe. Bali Maharaj was able to conquer the universe. So, although such was the case, Lord Vishnu appeared to reinstate the demigods as the rulers of the universe. And although he could have done so by force, because he is the proprietor of everything and he is all-powerful, but because Bali Maharaj was the rightful owner of the planets, because he had won them by in battle, So he did not take the lands by force. But understanding Bali Maharaj's charitable nature, he appeared in a form that would be just appropriate to inspire Bali Maharaj to voluntarily give charity to him. And he asked only for 3 steps of land. Now this, the word in the verse, pretension. Chalena, by pretension. Pretension is a dignified word. I mean, it has its subtle difference as well, but it is it's a dignified word for cheating. Vamanadev pretended to ask for 3 steps of land, and he was just a very small fellow, so his steps were very small. And Bali Maharaj was very attracted to Vamanadev's beauty. He was enchanted by Vamanadev's beauty. And he said, although you appear to possess so many good qualities, you do not seem to be very intelligent, because I am the proprietor of the whole universe, practically. I could give you a whole planet and more, and you're asking for only 3 steps of land. But Vamana replied that if I cannot be satisfied with 3 steps of land, I could not be satisfied even by a whole planet. So this demonstrates the principle of greed. That if one is greedy, he can never be satisfied, no matter how much he possesses. Even if he possesses the whole planet, he won't be satisfied. And Srila Prabhupada said, especially for brahmacharis, all they require is some service, a little prasad, and 3 steps of land, means a place to lie down at night. And the brahmachari is satisfied. And Vamana was playing the part of a brahmachari, a brahman who was a brahmachari. So Bali agreed, but Shukracharya, the spiritual master of the demons, by his mystic powers, could understand that Vamanadev was not a little brahmachari like he appeared to be, but he was actually Lord Vishnu. And that ultimately he would take everything away from Bali Maharaj. So he told him, do not give him what you have agreed to give. Srimad Bhagavatam describes that when Bali Maharaj received this instruction from his spiritual master, he paused. He hesitated. Because the injunction is that one must obey the orders of the spiritual master. In fact, it is one of the offenses against the holy name, Gurur Avagya, to disobey the orders of the spiritual master. So to disobey the orders of the spiritual master is a grievous offense. And therefore, Bali Maharaj hesitated. But finally he considered that the ultimate goal of life is to surrender everything to Vishnu, and that the spiritual master is really meant to instruct the disciple to surrender everything to the service of Vishnu. And therefore, he rejected his spiritual master and kept his promise to give 3 steps of land to Vamanadeva. So Vamanadeva expanded himself into a gigantic form. And with 2 steps, he covered the entire universe. Then he said to Bali Maharaj that you are a cheater. You promised me 3 steps, but you have given me only 2 steps, and you have nothing left to give me. So you cheated me. And Vamanadeva ordered Bali Maharaj to be arrested. And he was bound by ropes, the snake Vasuki, and treated just like a criminal. Bali Maharaj replied, actually, you have called me a cheater, but I'm not a cheater. I am going to give you your 3rd step. You kindly put your lotus foot on my head. And thus, Bali Maharaj surrendered himself to the Lord. And this is called Atmanivedana, self-surrender. In the 9 processes of devotional service, the last one is Atmanivedana. And Atmanivedana is exemplified by Bali Maharaja's surrender to Vamanadeva. And as the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, Yeyata mam prapadyante tams tataiva bhajamyaham. As one surrenders to me, I reciprocate accordingly. So, because Bali Maharaj gave everything to the Lord gave everything to Bali Maharaj. Because Bali Maharaj gave himself to the Lord gave himself to Bali Maharaj. and became his doorman and constant companion. In the end, he gave Bali Maharaj his own planet, and he became the gatekeeper of Bali Maharaj. And it is mentioned that when Ravana, the great demon Ravana, was terrorizing the universe, he came to the planet of Bali Maharaj, but he couldn't do anything because Lord Vishnu was Bali's gatekeeper. And he gave Ravana a kick with his lotus foot that sent Ravana all the way across the universe. So, Bali Maharaj was most fortunate. Now, the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam states, Guru Nasasyat, that no one should become a guru, no one should become a father, no one should become a mother, no one should become a husband, and no one should become a superior relative unless he or she can deliver his or her dependents from the repetition of birth and death. Srila Prabhupada quoted this verse to me at the time. We had just gotten the Juhu land, and Srila Prabhupada was living in a chattai hut in Juhu, which belonged to the Katao family, very pious, wealthy family, who had a very simple building, but by Juhu Beach, for use on holidays or for guests. And I was in the room, and another devotee named Mahamsa was in the room. Mahamsa also came from quite a good family, Parsi family, Bombay, a wealthy family. And Srila Prabhupada quoted this verse. And he said that, and he gave the example of Bali Maharaj, that it is the duty of the disciple to obey the order of the guru. But Bali Maharaj disobeyed the order of his guru. But that was not a fault, because his guru was not a real guru, because his guru was not instructing him in a way as to deliver him from the repetition of birth and death. Then he gave the example of Prahlad Maharaj, that it is the duty of the son to defend the father if the father is attacked. But when Lord Nrisimha attacked Prahlad's father, Hiranyakashipu, Prahlad did not try to defend his father, but rather he glorified Nrisimhadev for killing his father. So was that a fault? No. because Hiranyakasipu was not a real father, because he was not instructing his son in such a way as to deliver him from the cycle of birth and death. And then he gave the example of Kaikeyi, who was the mother of Bharat. She instructed Bharat to sit on the throne of Ayodhya when Lord Ramachandra was sent into exile. But Bharat refused. Was that a fault? No, because she was not acting as a real mother, because she was not instructing him in a way that was favorable for devotional service. One can be delivered from the repetition of birth and death only if one engages in devotional service, pure devotional service. And then Srila Prabhupada gave the example of the wives of the brahmanas. Krishna and Balaram and the cowherd boys begged charity, first from the brahmanas. The brahmanas refused. And then they begged from the wives of the brahmanas, and the brahmanas forbade their wives to go to Krishna and Balaram. But their wives disobeyed them. It is the duty of the wife to follow the order of the husband. But was it a fault? No, because their husbands were not acting as real husbands. So at the end, Srila Prabhupada said to Mahamsa and me that you have left your parents, but it is not a fault, because they are not acting as real parents. Perhaps not due to any fault of theirs, perhaps just out of ignorance, but still they were not acting as real parents. I recently heard a lecture by His Holiness Radhanath Swami in which he was describing the story of Dhruva Maharaj. When Dhruva Maharaj left home and went into the forest and eventually realized God, and his father understood that his son had become a great devotee, his father was overjoyed. At the same time, his father was very remorseful because of his offense against his son Dhruva. But he was jubilant that his son had become a great devotee who had surrendered everything to Krishna. And His Holiness Radhanath Swami commented that this is the mood of a real parent. A real parent wants to see the child become a great devotee, wants to see the child give everything for the service of the Lord. And he was challenging his audience that you want your children to be pious. You want them to be good. You don't want them to be sinful. You want them to be dutiful. But if your child, who you have been grooming to become a successful person in the material world, were to tell you, I have decided to give everything to Krishna and give my life to Krishna, how many of you would be happy? So there is a big difference between mundane piety and pure devotion. Well, anyway, so Srila Prabhupada was encouraging us that you did the right thing. You did the right thing, and he gave those examples, quoting Sridhar Swami's commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, Srimad Bhagavatam itself very beautifully explains that the guru should train the disciple in such a way that the Lord will give himself to the disciple. Which means, as we discussed, that the disciple must give himself fully to the service of the Lord, which is accomplished through the medium of the spiritual master. And I will read this verse. It follows a very famous verse from Srimad Bhagavatam that I hope you know. And I will read that verse first. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 3, Liberation from the Illusory Energy. Text 21. Tasmad gurum prapadyeta jigyasu shreya uttamam shabde para chanishnatam brahmanyu pasamashrayam. Any person who seriously desires real happiness. Do you desire real happiness? Yes, everyone desires real happiness. Therefore, any person who seriously desires real happiness must seek a bona fide spiritual master and take shelter of him by initiation. The qualification of the bona fide guru is that he has realized the conclusions of the scriptures by deliberation and is able to convince others of these conclusions. Such great personalities who have taken shelter of the Supreme Godhead, leaving aside all material considerations, should be understood to be bona fide spiritual masters. Then, the next verse. Tatra Bhagavatam Dharman Shikshed Gurvatma Daivata Amayanu Vritaya Yais Tushed Atmatma Dohari. Accepting the bona fide spiritual master as one's life and soul and worshipable deity, the disciple should learn from him the process of pure devotional service. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, the soul of all souls, is inclined to give himself to his pure devotee. Therefore, the disciple should learn from the spiritual master to serve the Lord without duplicity and in such a faithful and favorable way that the Supreme Lord, being satisfied, will offer himself to the faithful disciple. Purport. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, the Lord's tendency to give himself to his pure devotee is demonstrated in the case of Bali Maharaj, who sacrificed his universal kingdom for the pleasure of Lord Vamanadeva. Lord Vamana was so pleased by the selfless surrender of Bali Maharaj that the Lord became the doorman in the palace of Bali, who was reinstalled as a great leader in the universe. Now, because it is Srila Jiva Goswami's appearance day, and he is quoted next in the purport, I will read the next two paragraphs which quote Srila Jiva Goswami. Srila Jiva Goswami comments that the spiritual master is to be considered the Atma, or the very life of the disciple. Since real life begins when one is initiated by a bona fide spiritual master. Although one may experience many seemingly wonderful or important events in a dream, one's real life begins when he wakes up. Similarly, since the spiritual master gives birth to the disciple by awakening him to spiritual life, a bona fide disciple understands that his spiritual master is the very basis of his life. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the reservoir of all pleasure, and thus the Lord's giving himself to a pure devotee indicates that such a devotee becomes immersed in the highest possible ecstasy. In this connection, there is the following Shruti mantra: Ananda Dimahi Bhutani Jayanti. Indeed, it is from the all-blissful Supreme that all these creatures have come into being. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has further pointed out that when the Lord bestows his own self upon a pure devotee, such a fortunate devotee can actually see the Lord, touch him, and directly engage in his service. According to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, one should never consider one's spiritual master to be mundane or on an equal level with oneself. One should see the spiritual master as being always under the shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. One should never try to engage the spiritual master in one's personal service, with the mentality of lording it over the spiritual master and attaining through him some material gain. One who is actually advancing will become more and more eager to serve the spiritual master. And thus such a disciple experiences the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Rupa Goswami has delineated four preliminary requisites for advancement for the sincere disciple. Guru padashrayastasmat Krishna diksha dishikshanam vishrambena guru seva sadhuvart manuvartanam. One, accepting the shelter of the lotus feet of a bona fide spiritual master. Two, becoming initiated by the spiritual master and learning how to discharge devotional service from him. Three, obeying the orders of the spiritual master with faith and devotion. And four, following in the footsteps of great acharyas, teachers, under the direction of the spiritual master. That is Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.274. One who has executed these preliminary duties is qualified to relish Srimad Bhagavatam. And then the purport continues to explain the results of hearing and relishing Srimad Bhagavatam. So, Atmanivedana, surrender, self-surrender. Atma can mean self. Atma can mean mind. And Atma can mean body. So we decide to surrender to the Lord. Well, we hope to decide to surrender to the Lord. But in that surrender, there are different features. They're surrendering our body, they're surrendering our minds, and they're surrendering our very souls or selves. In the beginning stage, we sort of surrender, but then we go back on our surrender. Bhurijan Prabhu says they surrender, but then they take back their surrender. This is very common in Kali Yuga, because the whole atmosphere in Kali Yuga is so polluted and so surcharged with nescience that it's very easy to be affected by the illusory energy. The illusory energy will wear away one's determination to surrender to Krishna. And so it's very hard to withstand the attacks or the assaults of Maya, especially in Kali Yuga. Devotees who work in the material world, especially if they have to work in the association of non-devotees, face a constant assault from the material nature. And it's very hard to maintain one's determination. It is possible only if we have very strong association with pure devotees to counterbalance or counteract the pernicious influence of materialistic people within a materialistic culture that is constantly bombarding us with messages that we should be independent, we should enjoy our senses, we should progress materially. But let us say that we decide to surrender. But what is the actual status of our endeavor to surrender? We know that there are different stages in devotional service, and we should assess ourselves where we are, and we should assess ourselves at every moment where we are. Are we surrendering more to Krishna, or are we surrendering more to Maya or the mind? The materially contaminated mind is always trying to lead us away from Krishna and to Maya. So there is a critical stage in the practice of devotional service called anartha nivritti. At the stage of anartha nivritti, the anarthas, the unwanted habits, the unwanted desires, are eradicated, more or less. Srila Prabhupada says 75%. And so before then, one engages in anishtita bhajana kriya, that means unsteady. And after that, one engages in nishtita bhajana kriya, or steady devotional service. Now, being steady is further analyzed in relation to the body and the mind and the self, or Atma. For example, very anishtita, very unsteady, we're not consistent in chanting our 16 rounds. But there's a stage we become steady with our body, our tongues, and our fingers chanting 16 rounds. But our mind is not steady. Our mind is wandering. And so we have to make a conscious, deliberate effort to bring the mind back to the sound of the holy name. Now that's a struggle that takes effort, but that effort will purify our heart. That's part of the process of anartha nivritti. And then when the anarthas subside, we can fix the mind more easily on the sound of the holy name. But then it could happen, it's not likely, but it could happen that one will still engage in other activities outside devotional service. Or I shouldn't say it quite like that. One will engage in activities within devotional service, but one will still want something in return. So that is, in that sense, one has not completely given one's self. And the acharyas who have studied very deeply and analyzed very minutely these activities of the Lord with his devotees say that initially Bali Maharaj surrendered his property and his body, even surrendered his body, but he didn't really surrender his self. And that's why he was arrested, because he only surrendered his body, but not his self. That happens even in the material world. Someone is like a slave or an indentured servant, or even a child might be living at home and begrudgingly doing what the parents say, but inwardly wishing he could escape. He might like... It's not real surrender, but yeah, he does with his body what he's told to do or forced to do, but he hasn't really surrendered his heart. But real Atmanivedana means everything: the body, the mind, the words, and one's heart and soul. And when we give our heart and soul to the Supreme Lord will give himself, heart and soul, to us. If we surrender fully to the Lord, depending fully on the Lord will reciprocate. But if we're making our own arrangements, and the Lord, well, why should I bother? He's making his own arrangements, or she's making her own arrangements. Why should I bother? As many of our devotees have said, His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami, for one, that if you put Krishna in the center, if you put Krishna in the foreground, then you will be in the foreground for Krishna. But if you put Krishna in the background, which is our tendency, we put ourselves, like we're the center, Krishna's there, but he's in the background, but we're really the center, then, yayatamam prapadyate, then for Krishna will be in the background. So this is the gradual process. All of these stages, from Shraddha all the way to Prema, are a gradual process of the conception of me being the center decreasing and Krishna being the center increasing. The I and my, in the beginning stage when we're still conditioned, more or less on the material platform, we're still preoccupied with the thought of I and mine. I am this body and everything related to this body is mine. My husband, my wife, my children, my parents, my house, my car, my mortgage, my debts, it's all mine. But gradually, as we go through these stages, that conception of I and mine changes. And we think I am Krishna's, and Krishna is mine. And the critical point is Anartha Nivritti. Up until Anartha Nivritti, although there's progress, but still, it's more like I'm the center. I and mine. I'm this body, and everything related to this body is mine. And after Anartha Nivritti, when we come to Nishta, Ruchi, Ashakti, and so on, then Krishna is more in the center. I am Krishna's and Krishna is mine. And that is the whole process. And along the way, we have to constantly evaluate what is our consciousness. And we have to work on our consciousness, making Krishna the center, making the spiritual master the center, and thinking of their interest, not thinking of my interest separate from them, but thinking of their interest and having no separate interest. And we have to work on it. We have to work on the mind. You have to always be careful of the mind. In the same talk about Dhruva Maharaj, His Holiness Radhanath Swami described that during the fighting with the Yakshas, Dhruva Maharaj became successful. And when he entered their capital city, the city was deserted. So, but Dhruva was not complacent. He didn't take it for granted, I have been victorious. But he was wary because he knew that the Yakshas are very tricky. So he was on guard. And as it is, the Yakshas were just hiding and waiting for the opportunity to attack. And His Holiness Radhanath Swami said, this is the mood of a devotee. A devotee never is complacent. A devotee never takes it for granted, now I have surpassed Maya. Now I am beyond all temptation. Now I am in complete control of my mind and senses. Devotee never thinks like that. Devotee is always wary of the tricks of Maya or the tricks of the mind to tell us, okay, you can relax. You've worked hard enough. You can relax. And so on. So it is an effort, but it is well worth it, because in the end, one is liberated from the cycle of birth and death and all the miseries of the material world, and one sees the Lord, touches the Lord, and engages in direct service to the Lord. Hare Krishna. So are there any questions or comments? Yes, Narottamananda.
For example, I heard an example from
Well, Srila Rupa Goswami advises that generally a devotee should live in the mode of goodness. We should act in the mode of goodness, and then from the mode of goodness we can more easily come to the transcendental platform. So the mode of goodness, satyam, truthfulness, very much part of the mode of goodness. So generally we should be truthful. And but there can be exceptions. But we should be careful about exceptions. But there are exceptions. But it's the same thing. It's duplicity. The Lord gives himself to the disciple who serves without duplicity. The transgression should genuinely be for a higher cause. There should be no duplicity by which one engages in the transgression for one's own sense gratification in the name of Krishna consciousness. Once I asked Srila Prabhupada a similar question, and he told the story of Govinda Das when he was serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri. One day, the rule was that Govinda Das would massage the Lord's lotus feet every day after lunch. So one day it so happened that after lunch, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lay down just at the entrance to the room. So after his rest, when he awoke, he saw Govinda Das was sitting there in the room. He said, "Govinda Das, have you taken prasad?" And Govinda Das said, "No." "Why not?" "Well, your body was laying across the threshold of the room, and so to leave the room to take prasad, I would have had to step over your body, which would have been a transgression. How could I step over your body?" Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, "Well, how did you enter the room?" Govinda said, "Well, I stepped over your body. But that was for your service. That was for a higher cause. But I can't do that for my sense gratification." So it's very important that we always check our motives to see whether there's duplicity, you know, whether it's really for Krishna or whether it's for me, or for Krishna but also for me. His Holiness Bhaktitirtha Swami often gives the example of the desire for recognition and appreciation. Devotees are happy to do service, but they want some recognition or appreciation. It means they want something for themselves also. They want to serve Krishna, but they want something for themselves also. How many devotees are ready to continue to serve without any recognition or appreciation? See, that is transcendental. You can do that when you're actually in your relationship with Krishna. It means feeling your relationship with Krishna. You don't need reinforcement from others, you get your reinforcement from your japa, from kirtan, from your sadhana. So, yeah. We want to distribute books, but we want to be recognized. It's mixed. It's not bad, but it's mixed. It's not. But when we are really, when Krishna's the center and we're really absorbed in our relationship with Krishna, and we get our reciprocation from Krishna in our devotional service, then even if no one recognizes me, I'll do it. I've sometimes told the story of His Holiness Satchinandan Swami and his Namvrat during Kartik at Radhakund. Initially, he felt he was not able to enter. And was thinking what to do. It's like, you know, he came to the door and he was knocking on the door, but the door was not opening. So then he thought, I have to do humble service, menial service. So he thought, I'll sweep the kund. I'll sweep the area around the kund. But then he thought, if I do it and someone sees me, then they'll appreciate, oh, you're doing such nice service, you're cleaning the kund. And then he'll become puffed up and the whole purpose will be defeated. So he concluded he has to do it at a time of day when no one will see him. So I think he chose like 1 in the morning, you know, between 1 and 2 in the morning when no one would see him. And then after doing that menial, humble service for some time, the door opened. He was able to gain access to the holy name. So that should be our endeavor. We can do service to get, you know, name and fame or recognition and appreciation. But the real thing is to do service to please Krishna so that he'll bring us closer to him. And as we feel ourselves coming closer to Krishna, that's the only reciprocation we really need. Of course, the other is nice, and it's good for us as devotees to recognize other devotees and appreciate other devotees. That's something else. That's something we should do all the time. But me as a servant, my service should not be dependent on recognition and appreciation. But it should be done as part of my effort to please Krishna, develop my relationship with Krishna as the central figure. And me, like Purijan Prabhu says, like most people see the world, see life as a movie. And in the movie, he is the hero. Or she is the heroine. And everyone else is meant to play a supporting role, you know, in my life, with the movie of my life in which I'm the hero or the heroine. But when we really get serious about surrender, then Krishna's the hero and Radha's the heroine, or the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's the hero, or Srila Prabhupada's the hero, and we're the supporting cast. And we just do what's necessary for them. And that is the only reward we want, seeing their pleasure. All right, thank you very much. Tomorrow's another auspicious day. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's appearance day. And then Friday is Namacharya Haridas Thakur's disappearance day. I also give the morning class on Friday. And it goes on. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Vamana avatar ki jai. Nitai gaur premanandi haribo. Srila Jiva Goswami ki jai. Hare Krishna. Oh my.
Anyway.
Vamana Dev is one of the Das Avatars, so maybe in one of the kirtans we can sing the Das Avatar Stotra, or at least the one about him.